Guten Morgen. Ist es nicht ein wunderschöner Sonntagmorgen? Die Sonne scheint, es ist nicht kalt, es ist nicht kalter Wind. Und ich muss mich bei euch entschuldigen. Wir sind Mittwoch umgezogen nach Tabor Manor und ich bin etwas noch ein bisschen durcheinander. So, wenn es heute ein bisschen hauptsächlich geht so, ich hoffe, ihr habt Verständnis dafür. Ich möchte euch bitten, mit mir zu beten. Herr Gott, du bist unsere Zuflucht für und für. Ehe denn die Berge und die Welt und die Berge geschaffen wurden, bist du Gott von Ewigkeit zu Ewigkeit. Der du die Menschen lässt sterben und sprichst, kommt wieder, Menschenkinder. Wir sind hier zusammengekommen heute Morgen, an diesem schönen Sonntagmorgen, um dich zu loben und zu preisen, mit Liedern, mit Bibelversen und mit einer kurzen Andacht. Wir bitten dich, Herr, geh mit uns in jeden Tag, denn wir haben so viele, die dich so nötig brauchen, in den Hospitälern. Da ist der Waldi Heider, der junge Mann, immer noch. Und unsere täglichen Probleme. Und wenn wir denken, was da in der Ukraine passiert, dann können wir nur dankbar sein, dass wir in diesem friedlichen Land sorgenlos zum Teil leben können. Segne unser Bemühen, dich zu verherrlichen heute Morgen mit Lied. Dieses bitten wir in Jesu Namen. Amen.
Singen zusammen ein Lied. Ihr habt die Nummer da im Bulletin auch. 540. 540, wir singen 1, 3 und 5. 1, 3, 5.
Ich habe mein Buch hier.
Ja, okay.
Thank you.
Danke, John, für die Leitung. Ersten Chor. Ersten Chor. Diesen Weg bekommen wir etwas mehr Bewegung, hin und her laufen, nicht wahr, John? Denn wir in unserem Alter brauchen das. Mitteilungen und Bekanntmachungen. Es sind da etliche, die ich möchte hervorheben. Senior Valentine's Fellowship diesen Mittwoch. Um 2.30 Uhr, diesen kommenden Mittwoch um 2.30 Uhr in dem Gym, ja, natürlich. Und hoffentlich können so viele wie möglich kommen und uns zusammen etwas erfreuen an diesem Valentine's Day, nicht? Bitte merkt euch das. Und dann Care & Connect, brauchen immer noch Leute, die Leute besuchen kommen, ja, bitte lest das. Und dann die Donations, die ihr voriges Jahr gegeben habt, wenn die noch jemand noch nicht abgeholt habt, die sind in eurem Postfach, die braucht ihr für euren Income Tax zu zahlen. So bitte schaut in eurem Postfach, ob die da noch da sind, denn ihr braucht die unbedingt. Okay. Ja, ich war ganz überrascht, als ich dieses las. Meine Adresse ist hier schon drin. Und dann war da noch etwas. Ja. wir unseren Pastor, und wir sind ja sehr auf der Suche nach einem leitenden Pastor. Und lest das bitte, was sagt Save the Date. Und am Sonntag, den 26. wird wahrscheinlich unser Kandidat hier sein. Dann können wir ihn hören und ihn und mit ihm sprechen und sehen, was wir davon denken. Ja? Es ist wichtig, dass wir das tun, am 26. Februar. Bitte lest die anderen Bekanntmachungen alle. Waldi Heider ist immer noch im Schäfer Hospital. Wenn ich an den jungen Mann denke, ich könnte sein Vater sein, ja. Und der fuhr auf Jagd und ich weiß nicht, was ihm gebissen hat. Und dann war er wie gelähmt. Und er schon monatelang war er im Krankenhaus und jetzt ist er im Schäfer für Rehabilitation. Viele von euch haben das vielleicht nicht gewusst, wenn sie nur lasen, dass ihr hier im Raum ist. Also betet für ihn auch, ja? Und die Schriftworte sind, die wir heute betrachten, sind aus Thessalonicher 5, 16 bis 18. Sehr, sehr kurz. Seid alle zu fröhlich, alle Zeit fröhlich. Betet ohne Unterlass. Seid dankbar in allen Dingen, denn das ist der Wille Gottes in Christus Jesus an euch. Und dann Psalm 103. Lobe den Herrn, meine Seele, und was in mir ist, seinen heiligen Namen. Lobe den Herrn, meine Seele, und vergiss nicht, was er dir Gutes getan hat. Der dir alle deine Sünden vergibt und heiligt alle deine Gebrechen. Der dein Leben von Verderben erlöst. Der dich krönet mit Gnade und Barmherzigkeit. Der deinen Mund fröhlich macht. Und dazu sind wir doch hergekommen, dass wir fröhlich darüber sind, dass wir hier sind, nicht? Und du wieder jung wirst wie ein Adler. Naja, das ist eine andere Sache. Okay. Jetzt hören wir wieder den Chor und nachdem wird Irene uns die Botschaft bringen. Bitte.
Right. Einen schönen guten Morgen. Könnt ihr mich hören? Könnt ihr mich hören? Okay. In den letzten Tagen haben wir wunderschönes Wetter gehabt. Dafür sind wir sehr, sehr dankbar. Ich wenigstens. Wir sind alle dankbar, ne? Heute wollen wir uns mit dem Thema Danken ohne Unterlass beschäftigen. Nach 1. Thessalonicher 5, seid allezeit fröhlich, betet ohne Unterlass, seid dankbar in allen Dingen und das ist der Wille Gottes in Christus Jesus für euch. Weiter in Psalm 103, 1 bis 5, finden wir ebenfalls den Appell zum Danken. Lobe den Herrn, meine Seele. Und vergiss nie, was er dir Gutes getan hat, der dir alle deine Sünden vergibt und heilet alle deine Gebrechen, der dein Leben vom Verderben erlöst, der dich krönt mit Gnade und Barmherzigkeit, der deinen Mund fröhlich macht und du wieder jung wirst wie ein Adler. Beten wir noch zusammen. Vater im Himmel, wir danken dir, dass wir uns als Familie zu dir nähern dürfen, um bei dir Licht zu suchen, dich zu preisen und dir Dank sagen für deine unendliche Liebe zu uns hilflose Kreaturen. Wir danken, dass wir die Gemeinschaft der Heiligen pflegen dürfen. Und uns vor dir beugen, um zu danken für Führung, Leitung und Weisheit. Wie zerbrechlich unsere Sicherheiten sind, wie gefährdet unsere Ordnungen. Das erleben wir in diesen Tagen und wir danken für deine Gnade, denn wir heben unsere Augen auf zu den Bergen, von welchen unsere Hilfe kommt und danken dafür. Meine Hilfe kommt vom Herrn, der Himmel und Erde gemacht hat. Er wird deinen Fuß nicht gleiten lassen. Und der dich behütet, schläft nicht. Fülle du uns heute mit deinem Geiste, sodass deine Liebe in unseren Herzen quillt. Das bitten wir in Jesu Namen. Amen. Dankbarkeit ist ein sehr wichtiges Thema in der Bibel. Danken wir in allen Lebenslagen? Dankbarkeit sollte für uns eine Lebensweise sein, die ganz natürlich aus unserem Herzen und unserem Mund fließt. Wenn wir etwas tiefer in der Heiligen Schrift schauen, verstehen wir, warum wir dankbar sein sollten und auch, wie wir in verschiedenen Situationen dankbar sein könnten. In Psalm 136, Vers 1 heißt es: Dankt dem Herrn, denn er ist gütig, denn seine Gnade währet ewiglich. Wir haben zwei Gründe, dankbar zu sein: für Gottes beständige Güte und seine unerschütterliche Gnade. Wenn wir das Wesen unserer Verderbtheit erkennen und verstehen, dass es ohne Gott nur noch ein Tod gibt, ist unsere natürliche Reaktion für das Leben, das er uns schenkt, dankbar zu sein. In Psalm 30 wird Gott für seine Befreiung gepriesen. David schreibt: Ich will dich erheben, o Herr, denn du hast mich herausgezogen, dass meine Feinde sich nicht freuen durften über mich. Herr, mein Gott, zu dir habe ich geschrien, denn du hast mich geheilt. Herr, du hast meine Seele aus dem Totenreich herausgebracht. Du hast mich belebt aus denen, die in die Grube hinabfuhren. Hier dankt Gott, David Gott, nach einer offensichtlich schwierigen Situation. Dieser Dankespsalm lobt Gott nicht nur in diesem Augenblick über Gottes Charakter, der so wunderbar ist, dass Lob die einzig angemessene Antwort ist. Es gibt viele weitere Beispiele für Dankbarkeit, inmitten schwieriger Umstände. Psalm 28 schildert zum Beispiel Davids Bedrängnis. Es ist ein Schrei zu Gott um Barmherzigkeit, Schutz und Gerechtigkeit. Nachdem David zu Gott geschrien hat, schreibt er: Gelobt sei der Herr, denn er hat erhört die Stimme meines Flehens. Der Herr ist meine Stärke und mein Schild, auf ihn hat mein Herz vertraut und mir wurde geholfen. Darum frohlockt mein Herz und ich will ihm danken mit meinem Lied. Mitten in der Not erinnert sich David daran, wer Gott ist, und weil er Gott kennt und ihm vertraut, dankt er ihm. Hiob hatte eine ähnliche Haltung des Lobes, sogar im Angesicht des Todes. Der Herr hat gegeben, der Herr hat genommen. Der Name des Herrn sei gelobt. Auch im Neuen Testament gibt es viele Beispiele für die Dankbarkeit des Glaubens. Paulus wurde schwer verfolgt und doch schrieb er: Gott aber sei Dank, der uns alle Zeit in Christus triumphieren lässt und den Geruch seiner Erkenntnis durch uns an jedem Ort offenbar macht. Der Schreiber des Hebräerbriefs sagt, darum, dass wir ein unerschütterliches Reich empfangen, lässt uns die Gnade festhalten, durch die wir Gott auf wohlgefällige Weise dienen können, mit Scheu und Ehrfurcht. Petrus gibt einen Grund für Traurigkeit, in mancherlei Anfechtungen dankbar zu sein. Denn er sagt, dass sich unser Glaube durch die Schwierigkeiten als echt erweisen und zu Lob, Herrlichkeit und Ehre führen wird, wenn Jesus Christus geoffenbart wird. Das Volk Gottes ist ein dankbares Volk, denn es ist sich wohl bewusst, wie viel ihm gegeben worden ist. Eines der Merkmale der Endzeit ist der Mangel an Dankbarkeit, denn böse Menschen werden undankbar sein. Wir sollen dankbar sein, denn Gott ist es wert, dass wir ihm danken, alle Zeit. Es ist nur recht, ihm für jede gute Gabe und jedes vollkommene Geschenk zu danken, das er gibt. Wenn wir dankbar sind, richtet sich unser Blick nicht mehr auf egoistische Wünsche und auf den Schmerz der aktuellen Umstände. Dankbarkeit hilft uns, uns daran zu erinnern, dass Gott alles unter Kontrolle hat. Dankbarkeit ist also nicht nur angebracht, sondern sogar gesund und nützlich für uns. Sie erinnert uns an das große Ganze, daran, dass wir zu Gott gehören und dass wir mit jedem geistlichen Segen gesegnet sind. Wir haben ein Leben in Fülle und Dankbarkeit ist einfach angebracht. Danke, Herr, für die Blumen in freier Natur, für den Wind, für das Meer und für den Glanz im Weizenfeld. Danke, Herr, für die echte Liebe, für das Herdfeuer, für die wahre Freiheit. Danke, Herr, für die grünen Felder, die Luft, die Sonne und das Blau des Himmels, für deine Liebe. Danke, Herr, für die einfachen, demütigen Menschen, die nicht nachtragend sind und mir in die Augen blicken können. Danke, Herr, für den Frieden in der Welt, auch wenn er noch so zerbrechlich ist. Für den Frieden, der immer wieder möglich ist. Nichts lässt die Freude beständiger im Herzen wohnen als die Übung der Dankbarkeit. Es lohnt sich zu danken dem Herrn, unserem Gott. Das Murren und Knurren bringt nur Unzufriedenheit und Verderben. Die Israeliten, die in alten Zeiten durch die offenbarte Macht Gottes aus Ägyptenland befreit wurden, konnten das Land Kanaan, das ihr Ziel war, nicht betreten. Unser Hinweis auf diesen Vorfall ermahnt Gott uns, die wir am Ende der Weltzeit leben, ganz besonders. Murrt nicht, wie einige von den Israeliten murrten. Das damalige Wüstenleben der Israeliten ist ein Schatten von unserem Glaubensleben in der Wüste. Wir wollen die Handlungen des israelischen Volks nicht außer Acht lassen und ein Leben führen, in dem wir nicht murren, sondern in allen Dingen dankbar sein und Gott mit Freuden verherrlichen, egal was die Lage sein möge. Bei jedem Grollausbruch macht Gott einen Unterschied. Er unterscheidet immer zwischen den Jammerern und Geduldigen, die mit Danksagung an den Willen Gottes denken. Gott setzt auch uns, die wir den Wüstenweg des Glaubens gehen, verschiedenen Situationen aus und lässt uns unter Anfechtung, Schwierigkeit und Trübsal leiden, wodurch er uns in die Dankesager und Widerspruchgeister einteilt. Wer Dank bekundet, hat einen richtigen Glauben an Gott und kann deshalb unter allen Umständen dankbar sein. Wenn jemand knurrt, Klage führt, nicht dankt, noch sich freut, er bringt eigentlich schon selber einen Beweis für die Erschöpfung des geistlichen Öls des Glaubens. Der Jammerer, da ihr Glaubensöl zur Neige geht, füllen ihre Herzen nicht mit Dankbarkeit, sondern vielmehr mit Groll vollständig und können letzten Endes die Existenz Gottes nicht in Abrede stellen. Lasst uns im Hinblick auf den früheren Lebenswandel den alten Menschen ablegen und alle in Gott den Neuen anziehen. Danach sollen wir in allen Dingen dankbar und frohmütig sein, also den Weg des Glaubens einschlagen. Dankbarkeit macht uns nicht nur zum besseren Christen, sondern hilft uns auch, uns selbst besser zu fühlen. Denken wir mal daran, dass Gott uns auch schickt, um glücklich zu sein. Amen. Beten wir noch. Vater im Himmel, geheiligt sei dein Name. Wir danken dir für die Kraft in deinem Worte täglich. Wir danken dir, dass wir einen festen Glauben und Anker in dir haben und dass du unsere Freude bist. Hilf uns nie, das Danken zu unterlassen und immer noch mehr danken. Sei du unser Leitstern, schenke du uns die Freude immer zu, in allen Lagen dir zu danken und uns mutig im Liebesdienst für dich zu widmen. Vater, hilf uns, dir treu zu sein bis in den Tod. Die Gnade unseres Herrn sei mit uns. Möge er uns leiten und führen und uns seinen Frieden schenken. Amen.
Singen wir das Lied unter Nummer 570, 570, Dank dem Herrn mit frohen Gaben.
Ich möchte mich herzlich bedanken bei Irina Giesbrecht für ihre anspornende und klare Botschaft an uns. Und ich denke, wir nach dem Segen singen wir noch das Lied, ja? Ja. Wollen wir uns noch von den Plätzen erheben und den Segen empfangen? Herr, segne uns und behüte uns. Lass dein Antlitz leuchten über uns und sei gnädig. Erhebe dein Antlitz über uns und schenke uns deinen Frieden in der kommenden Woche, wenn wir ihn so nötig brauchen. Dieses bitten wir in Jesu Namen. Amen. Wir singen noch 166.
166, singen zwei Strophen, bitte. Du.
A few quick announcements. We're super excited that our pastoral candidate, Tim Amour, will be here candidating at the end of this month along with his family. There will be opportunities on Saturday the 25th in the evening and at our church on the 26th, which will be followed by a potluck luncheon for you to get to know him a little bit better. And as part of our candidating process, we're planning to do a question and answer session with Tim following the potluck. So in order to be fair to everyone, we invite you to submit questions in advance to the drop-off box. So there's a box on the very back table there in the narthex with some slips of paper. So if you have questions, please write them on there, put them in the drop box, and all questions will be presented to Tim, but just similar questions, we'll combine them, and so he will get to know what the questions are ahead of time, so it gives him an opportunity to think about that. But all questions will be posed to him. So feel free to write your questions and ideas down and put them in the box. There will not be an open mic session, so make sure that if you have any questions that you want to ask him, that they be put in the Dropbox. All right, just a few other things. First of all, love the new banners. Thank you, Megan and Vandenberg family. You can see that they are all words from our favorite hymns. So we're so excited to have them up there. They look beautiful. And we're also looking for anyone interested in visiting people in our church community who are no longer able to worship in person. So if this is something that you feel that you're able to help out with, please see Ann Hubert or Trudy Entz. And as you can see, there's lots of things happening in our church this week, so please check your bulletins for more details to find out how you can fit in or find something that interests you. One thing that's not in there is the church choir is meeting Thursday at 6, so please mark that down. And seniors, don't forget to mark your calendars for the Valentine's Fellowship this Wednesday the 15th at 2:30 here at the church. And I would like to invite the worship team up now as we sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
If you're able, please stand.
This morning's call to worship is from Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. If you want to use your pew Bibles, it's on page 957. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we praise you and we thank you for the guidance that you give us. From day to day, in your word and by your spirit, we thank you for choosing to dwell among us and praise you for calling us to be your faithful people. Bless this time of worship and of prayer, that those who need comfort may be comforted, that those who need challenge may be challenged, and that all of us may grow closer together as your children. We pray this in your name, amen. Children, you're invited to come forward. Megan has a story for you.
It's on. There we go. Okay, while we're waiting for the rest of our friends, I have a question for you. Let's say you were given one wish. What would you ask for? If you could ask for anything in the world, what would you want?
Infinite money.
Infinite money, okay. What else? Maybe, yeah, Stephanie?
Power.
Power, ooh, like a superpower? Maybe you'd want some toys, or like Callan said, some money. Maybe you'd want to be famous. What about wisdom? Would any of you ask for wisdom? I don't know. What is wisdom anyways? That's a funny word. What does it mean? Well, maybe. What is wisdom anyways? What does it mean to be wise? What if I put my glasses on? Does this make me wise? Not really. What about if I read all of these big, thick books?
Yeah, that makes you look like a man.
What about if I read more books? I think one of these is even a dictionary. What if I read all of these books? No? What if I recited some really cool facts and I could tell you all this cool information? Does that make me wise?
No, it sounds like a nerd.
No, it doesn't really make me wise, because wisdom isn't about what we know, it's about who we know. It's about our ability to use our minds in a way that helps to serve God and to make good decisions. But now, how do we make those good decisions? So let's say I have to make a decision. Let's say I have to choose between some candy and an apple. Which is the wise choice to make? Now, the candy looks really appealing right now, right? It's pretty fun. It's yummy, it's chewy, I think it's strawberry flavored, that's really cool. But it's not the most healthy choice to make in the long run. So wisdom can help me see that the apple is the better option. But there's a lot more difficult and challenging decisions that we have to make in our life than just choosing between candy and a fruit. So wisdom helps us with something called discernment. Now that's a big word, discernment, which means it helps us to tell and to make which is a better choice and which is a worse choice in our life. So today, in our Bible verse that we're going to hear, in the sermon that we're going to hear, we're going to learn that God gives us wisdom and knowledge to help lead us through life and to help make these tough choices, because he doesn't want to lead us astray. But that wisdom doesn't come from all of these big books. It comes from the book, the Bible, which contains the word of God. And it gives us wisdom through the pages of the scripture and all of these stories of Jesus. So we might face challenges in our life, or we might have tough choices that we have to make, but we can rely on God for wisdom and strength and discernment. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us what we need. Help us to look to you for wisdom, to make good choices and decisions, and to have discernment. Help us to make wise choices in our everyday life. Amen.
Thanks, Megan. We're going to sing Glorify Thy Name together.
Good morning, church. Glorify thy name in all the earth. The earth has been groaning this week in a very, very major way. More about that in a moment. No, I am not Pastor Randy. I got a phone call or a text this morning at 8 a.m. from Pastor Randy, and he and Renata are taking care of their grandson, Theo. And Renata had responsibilities at their church, her church. And Randy said, Paul, can you cover for me the pastoral prayer? Because Theo was, let's just say, not well last night and was up-chucking? Is that what you call it? What's the German word for that? Okay, how many grandparents here have been having their grandkids and you've had an upchuck or two in your house, okay? So anyway, I said to Pastor Randy, I says, that's no problem at all. We've certainly had that experience too. So, but it was interesting. I mean, the Spirit of God prompts a person, and I had been reading the scriptures this week, and particularly after the earthquake and after that tragic event in La Salle, Quebec, and the loss of life and the injuries. And so my heart was very wounded at the state of our world today, both within Canada and, of course, in Syria and in Turkey. But the Spirit of God pointed me to, interestingly, this morning I literally read this text and I thought, if I'm doing the pastoral prayer, I'm going to have to include a few words from this psalm before I lead in a pastoral prayer. I wonder how often you've had feelings like the psalmist David when he wrote, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." There are some beautiful, beautiful pieces of art around the world, classic, wonderful, priceless pieces of art, religious art. There's also this amazing, magnificent psalm, which is really an account of creation. It's one of those texts that you can spend a lifetime reading. And the psalmist is describing, giving an interpretation of creation itself and of the world in which we live. To me, this psalm speaks volumes, particularly as we try to understand the wounded hearts that globally are being affected during these days. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. You wrap yourself in light as with a garment. You lay the beams of the upper chambers on the waters. You make the winds your messengers. You set the earth on its foundations, and it can never be moved. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. Those are simply some selected verses from Psalm 104 on page 940 in your pew Bible, should you at some point later wish to read that psalm. But it spoke to my heart this morning as I lead in a pastoral prayer. We pray for this world of ours that is so needy, and our hearts are broken today as we hear of so much conflict around the world. Again, as is our custom, we will conclude our pastoral prayer with the Lord's Prayer. And as is my custom, rather than using the word trespass, which I always think of going somewhere that I shouldn't be going, climbing a fence, I like to use the word sin. But you can use the word trespass. But if you hear from this microphone the word sin, it's because the word sin hits at the heart of the matter. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, the world itself seems to be spinning off of its axles. The earth quakes. The mountains smoke. The skies over North America are filled with strange objects. And the need of the human race is very, very deep and very, very strong. When we consider the millions that find themselves homeless and the thousands who have had their lives snuffed out by these natural disasters, but also through the armaments of war and the aggressiveness of war. For those who have, without thought, taken the lives of the innocent ones, O God, our hearts are wounded, our hearts are broken, and we sympathize and we ache with men and women, parents, grandparents, sons and daughters, whose hearts today are grieving. Undertake, we pray, God, through the resources of care organizations, special appeals, whether it be our own Mennonite Central Committee or so many other agencies around the world. Help us, O God, in some way to stand with and to be in prayer for those in deep, deep need and in deep tragedies around the world. We thank you for caregivers, caregivers within our own congregation who visit the sick, who visit the needy, the shut-ins. Oh God, may their tribe increase as by your Spirit you prompt us into being that visitor, that caregiver. We thank you, God, as well for those who are moving into responsibilities in our ministry teams within this church, whether it be our children's ministry, our youth ministry, even amongst our adults on our church council. We thank you for those who have stepped forward and said, yes, for such a time as this, I am prepared to serve. And we do anticipate, O God, the arrival on Sunday, the 26th, of Pastor Tim Armour. And God, we know that there will be a lot of excitement both here and within his little family. And so we pray for Tim, for Jennifer, for Oscar, and for Augustine, as the family would come and be amongst us. May the hospitality that we show them and the love communicate volumes in both their and our decision making. May the Spirit of the Lord have free reign in this place, and may we rejoice. We worship you. We offer to you our tithes and our offerings. We pray for the public reading of the Holy Scriptures, that we might be encouraged, gain wisdom, and be strengthened individually and as a church. In Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Good morning. I too want to tell the committee how much I appreciate the banners. They look lovely, and they're such a splendid reminder. Today, I'm going to break with tradition. When engaging in our scripture reading, I am going to suggest that everyone follow in the church, the Bibles that you have in your pews, please. And thank you. Today we're going to look at Colossians 2, verses 1 to 7. That will be found on page 1833 to speed up the process. Sorry. Thank you for being so compliant. Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 7. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. And for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you perceived Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thank you. Thus far, the reading of the Word of God.
And may God speak into our hearts and to our minds through his word. I know I forgot the Lord's Prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive me our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Being the church God is calling us to be. When I was preaching two Sundays ago, I introduced this reading from Colossians chapter 2, and Irene, our sister, has read it today again for us. Just by the way, I was on the preaching schedule to preach on February the 26th. And I was going to preach another sermon from this very same scripture passage. So I'm not preaching on the 26th because we're all looking forward to Pastor Tim coming to preach. But you know what that means? You're getting two sermons today. Because no, we will not return to this Colossians passage after today. But thank you, Sister Irene, for the reading of the Holy Scriptures this morning. Being the church that God has called us to be, in your bulletin, you would probably notice on one of the inserts, sermon notes. Now, for those of you that like to take notes, this little message this morning, we'll have six notes, six headings. And so there you go. If this is a test, so I'm going to be examining your sheets after the service today. But just by way of a quick review, a couple of weeks ago when I preached from Colossians 1, I said, being the church that God is calling us to be requires that we have courageous hearts. During the pastoral prayer, I talked about having a wounded heart. Paul, in his letter to the church at Colossae, says, we are to be encouraged in heart. My concern, Paul is saying, is that you may have the courage and stability to continue in the ministry of being the church. Take courage. These are exciting days for St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, and we look forward to these days and weeks and months and the years to come that we would have a witness in this community. Being the church requires that we have courageous hearts. Being the church requires that we have cohesive love. Many things will change within our church. Many things. Those in positions of responsibility, whether it be in Sunday school, in youth, in our ministry teams, many things will change. We look forward, God willing, to the coming of a lead pastor. We will be saying goodbye. We already have said goodbye to Taya and John Hines. We anticipate that we will be, because of retirement, saying goodbye to Pastor Randy Clausen. We are thankful for the faithful work of Brother Kevin as he served on church council, and all of the others who have served on church council. We are thankful that both Brother Peter and Brother Kurt have stepped forward to serve in these leadership capacities. The demonstration of the love of God and the body of Christ is essential, and there needs to be a cohesiveness that though leaders change, though forms of worship may change, Pastor Tim will not have the same presentation as Pastor Randy or Brother Paul or Brother Pastor Nick. He will be his own person with his own gifts. But the demonstration of a biblical love is important for us to cohesively be together. One of the other translations that I love to look at talks about being knit together in love. It paints the picture of the knitter creating a beautiful piece that we together, the gray-haired, the youth, those with no hair, the children in our congregation, that we all be knitted together as a tapestry of love. Please, please do not allow personal opinions, personal differences over secondary issues to tear apart the tapestry of love within the fabric of the St. Catherine United Mennonite Church. That is my plea, that we have a cohesive love. And then we venture on to point number three. Being the church requires that wisdom be exercised. Thank you, Megan, for that wonderful story concerning wisdom and where wisdom is to be found. God grant to Sycumse that we have men and women who are so equipped with wisdom that comes from God, that is grounded in the mystery of God through Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about critical Christ-like way of thinking, that we would have, to quote the Apostle Paul, complete understanding. This is how we must pray, both privately for one another, but also for a community of faith. That we would have a collective wisdom. Thus saith the Lord, this is the way we move forward. How can we move forward with God's anointing and God's blessing without this wisdom? Can we expect God-honoring lives amongst our kids, our youth, our church leaders, if we don't somehow bring all of them under the understanding of the riches and the wisdom that are found in Christ? It's an opening response. The Apostle Paul is very much conscious that there were teachers out there, there were philosophers out there, there were fads, there were isms that were seeking to come into the church and make them the crucial criteria. And the Apostle Paul says, there's worldly wisdom out there. There's worldly ways of doing things. And then there is the wisdom and the understanding that is found in Christ, in all that Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Master, has to give us. The truth of the Christian faith is not a secret, but a secret that has been revealed for all. Our faith, though well fitted in the Holy Scriptures, our ways of doing things, our traditions, we have our scriptures and we have our traditions, our ways of doing things. But all of that has to come into an intimacy with God and the wisdom of God found through Jesus Christ and our experience, how we live the Christian life, the experience of the Christian life, the experience of being the church that God is calling us to be, based not on tradition only, based not only on the understanding of the Holy Scriptures, but based on our collective wisdom that we have as the body of Christ in Christ. Being the church, number four, requires that we be resistant to error. Resistant to error. Verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. It used to be that only by studying and knowing the genuine are you able to identify the counterfeit. That's when it came to currencies and things like that. You had to know exactly the currency. Now they have special machines and so on and so forth that is able to detect the genuine from the counterfeit. But it needs to be said that another mark of faithful Christian church is that we have the power as a church, and we have the clarity as a church to resist seductive false teachings. The Revised Standard Version refers to it as enticing words or fine-sounding arguments. There are those golden-tongued orators, and I'm not one of them. There are those golden-tongued orators, any of you who like to watch defense attorneys, defense lawyers, who go and support somebody whom you know is guilty. But they have the ability through their care and their craft to present enticing words so that the accused is able to get off. So that the accused is able to convince the jury that they're innocent. Let us beware of enticing words and arguments and influences that can lead us into error. Resist error. Know what you believe and be able to recognize error. I know the truth in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves me. This I know. And as I said earlier in the message, we need to know and be wise and discerning collectively as a church to be able to resist, to be able to recognize, and then to resist error from creeping in. Teach the truth about Christ to others so that people will grow in their Christian faith. It's interesting, we only read the first seven verses, but please, those of you who wish further study, Paul develops his concerns in greater detail further along in this passage of Colossians chapter 2. If you read further on from verse 8 down to verse 15, from verse 18 to verse 23, the Apostle Paul goes on and talks about the erroneous teachings that are trying to creep in and capture the minds of unsuspecting, untaught people. Whether it's some deceptive philosophy, whether it's human systems or basic principles of this world and using the world's ways in the church. And it goes on and on, and Paul talks about rules and regulations and how some were imposing the laws of Judaism and some were imposing the laws of the Old Testament Mosaic codes on the Christian church. And the Apostle Paul goes on, he says, beware of all of this. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth a little bit earlier in 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 1 to 5. And he wrote to the church at Corinth, trying to correct them. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. And that wonderful phrase in Ephesus chapter 6 in verse 14, where he says, we are to surround ourselves with the belt of truth. Verse 14, standing firm in this world, set apart. These two marks, the wisdom that is found in Christ and the warnings against error, we need to be constantly vigilant in all of our ministries, in all of our outreach. Do we know that Christ and the wisdom that is found in Christ is the bottom line? Is the wisdom that is found in Christ and in Christ's church, is it the governing principle of our leaders from this place? That was point three and point four. Now I'm going on to sermon two. Point number five that I would like to make is very simple. Being the church requires that we exercise discipline. Discipline. We don't like using that word today. Though Paul was physically not present with them in Colossae, the fact is he probably never set foot there. He writes about being spiritually connected with them in a very vivid and real language. He talks about his messenger friend, Epaphras, had been able to vividly and clearly communicate to Paul. Epaphras was able to say, I've been to Colossae. I've been to their worship. I've seen what they're doing. And he was able to give Paul the full information, what was going on in that church. Though not present, Paul was able to say, I am present with you in spirit. He knew the mood of the church. He could sense it. Paul felt that way about all of his churches. Paul felt that way about the church at Corinth as well. Though he was absent from the church, he was writing to them about some problem issues in the church at Corinth. He was writing from Ephesus, and basically the Apostle Paul, writing from Ephesus to the church at Corinth, said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, for my part, even though I am not physically present with you, I am with you in spirit as one who is present with you in this way. I have already passed judgment in the name of the Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this evil thing. So when you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus is present, Paul says, hand that man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Those are strong words. Those are harsh words. Those are words that get right to the point. Church at Corinth, you have a responsibility here not to allow that evil to continue to be perpetuated within the church. When you gather together, you're in the spirit, you're in prayer, you have the wisdom of God, it's important for you to discipline that person. By the way, it's also interesting, later on in the book of Corinthians, I love this passage, we don't always read it when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we celebrate communion. But it's interesting, if you would turn there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30 to 32, the Apostle Paul there talks about when you come together at the Lord's table. There are many here, Paul writes, who are weak, who are sick, because they're taking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, because of unconfessed sin, because of a lack of discipline in their life, to get things right with their brothers and sisters and with the Lord. And Paul says, and he's speaking, and he's writing with apostolic authority. He's speaking under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he says, there are some in the midst who are weak, who are sick. And then he even goes so far as to say that some died. And I've always said this. I'm just a poor preacher, and I would never say that a weakness or a sickness or a death is caused by a lack of discipline because of sin in a person's life. But Paul, as the apostle, under the unction of the Spirit of God, was able to write that. And that's a warning to us that we are to be a disciplined church. It's interesting, though, that here in Colossae, the Apostle Paul is able to write that he delights, Paul writes, he delights to see how orderly they are, how they conducted their affairs, and how they functioned within the fellowship. Clearly, what Paul wants them and us to pick up on is this church. The church requires orderliness, and it requires an orderly, disciplined approach. It's like what the military call spit and polish. Well presented. In other words, we are not to be some motley crew of libertarians and free spirits that I'll jolly well live my life the way I want to live it. Paul says, not in the church of Jesus Christ you don't. The church needs structure. And how thankful we are for the men and for the women who give leadership in this congregation, who seek by God's grace at the leading of the Spirit of God to keep us in order. In Colossae, we know that the church is under attack from within and from without. There were all kinds of issues that they faced. But being the church, and with this I close, requires that we be dedicated to Christ. As I have said, leaders come and go, pastors come and go, church members come and go. But here Paul is using the term that speaks of solidarity. I love those words in verse 5, if you're looking there now. Paul says, though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. From beginning until the end, we are the church planted here in North St. Catharines to have an impact in this community. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been baptized by water and baptized by the Spirit. There is one baptism whereby we are joined together in Christ. We are rooted. We are built up. We are a church that is to grow and to be strengthened always with thankfulness. Even over in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Are we that holy temple? Are we building upon the foundation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? All of our ministries, all of our lives must proceed within the compass that is Christ. Oh, don't you sense the Spirit of the Lord is leading us as a congregation? Let us keep in step with that Spirit. Being the church God requires us to be requires that we have courageous hearts, that we have cohesive love, that wisdom be exercised, that we are resistant to error, that we exercise discipline, and that we be dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ. What an impact, this local assembly will have in our community. If this wonderful facility that we have been entrusted, if it, God forbid, should ever be destroyed by earthquake, by fire, or some other event, would it make a difference in this community? That fact that we are a church? Would we continue to have an impact in our community? Being the church that God requires us to be, may it be found even so here. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Speaking of spirit, I often ask Sandra what would she like to sing on Sunday. And often she says, oh, just you pick. But this time she did. She picked Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, and Be Thou My Vision. I did not know that we had these banners up here, and that one right smack in the middle is Be Thou My Vision. So let this be our vision for this week until we meet again.
Thanks.
Please stand if you're able. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. We'll pause for the benediction and close with verse 5.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you.